Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
My name is Philip Flores. I'm today's practitioner of the day. I am being assisted by Wanda Maddox and Mary Ballou, and I see that Kalish is here as well, and Michael. So anyone that you see wearing a stole, we are licensed prayer practitioners. We're available for any prayer. We do have a vestal in the back where you can request your prayer. You could also go online and request it there. So just know that we're here to help you all. So join me now in an opening invocation. So there's a power and a presence of love, connection, truth, and hope. And it is available always at each and every moment for me, for you, and for everyone. And so I open my heart, I open my awareness to today's talk from Dr. Andrea about the Inside Out Part 2. And I allow that to awaken my spirit, to enliven my thoughts, and to prosper my intentions. And so I release these words to the creative medium, and together we affirm, and so it is.
All right, so if you've been following along, this month is Transformation at the Base, and we started with just defining what transformation was in the beginning of the month, and then we talked about negative emotions and how no mud, no lotus. You know, you have these emotions you have to sort of compost so that you can bloom and blossom. Only I didn't say it that corny. and then we worked with forgiveness. That was last week. And this week, oh boy, we get to work with anxiety and fear. Now, let me see a show of hands. How many of you have never felt fear or anxiety? Raise your hand. Really? No? Yeah, me either. Yeah, it seems to be part of the human condition. And so, of course, all of the great spiritual teachings have things to say about fear and anxiety and what to do with it. And so I thought I would talk a little bit about that today. The title of the talk, Inside Out 2, is based on a movie that really you must go see. I don't care if you don't like animation, go anyway. Or I think it's on Disney now. But this is a movie about, it's sort of the second version of following this little girl who now is becoming a teenager. And she had all the basic emotions in the first movie. And now, all of a sudden, with puberty, all these other emotions have showed up. And anxiety shows up and says, oh my gosh, I'm anxiety. Where can I put my stuff? Because they're staying for a long time. And anxiety actually takes over the movie for a while. It's anxiety producing. And that's what made me think of the title, is because I wanted to talk a little bit about what to do, because spiritual folk really have some pretty good solutions and ideas around this whole topic of fear and anxiety and worry. And so let me start with where I started. You may remember that I was an Episcopalian, and my major in college was sociology, but my minor, which had almost as many credits as my major, was religious studies. At an early age, I was drawn. And so in my religious studies class, believe it or not, this is what Father Matthew had us by, was this version of the Bible. And thank God, because it's a lot more readable than the King James, which I was raised on. So if you weren't raised in Christianity, which many of us were not, I'll set the stage. So Jesus has shown up, and he's starting to attract notice and interest, and he's wandering around with his disciples. and gaining more and more notoriety and fame. And so he gets to a point where there's a lot of people that have shown up at this one, we won't call it a venue because it was basically a mountain, but you know, and they want to know how he can be the way he is. And so he starts teaching from, you know, high on this hill so that they can hear him, you know. And he's teaching all kinds of things. So in that teaching, if you've ever heard the Lord's Prayer, that was part of it. But this is the one that it was one of my favorite parts. Maybe I was more anxious than I thought. He said, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his span of life?" So that was reassuring. At that point, Heavenly Father was somebody outside of me, and now it's not. But the message is still the same, which is, hey, there's a spirit, a presence, a divine essence, a universal energy, whatever you want to call it, the Tao, the Buddha nature. You know, there's lots of words that try to capture for people this thing, this amazing presence. And what that teacher was basically saying was, hey, you know, if you really pay attention, you really don't need to worry, because there's something greater going on here that's moving in you and through you and around you. And when we focus on that, we can let go of worry and trust that something's moving, shaping us, flowing with us. Welcome, you guys. And it's sort of like the song we just sang together about it, when I let go, things can flow, right? So that was basically Jesus's message, only not as beautifully sung. But then I was thinking about sacred chant, which I really love. There's a wonderful group called Shantala. Have any of you been here when they performed? Yeah, they're coming back in November. And Shantala is a man and his wife and these incredibly accomplished musicians who sing sacred chanting from India. And what I've always loved about that is this one particular instrument, the harmonium. Are you familiar with it? And what's interesting about the harmonium is that it has keys, and it's kind of like an accordion, only it sits on the floor, and underneath every chant is what's called the drone. And so there's the melody going on, but there's always this yang, 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 yang. And that's kind of like fear. In Indian music, actually, they blend both parts of our experience, the melody, the happiness, the joy, the celebration, with this underlying other thing that for sacred humans is happening all the time. This awareness that we don't have that much time here. This life is impermanent. Many of the things that we love, many of the things that we're attached to, are going to leave us. And so there's this awareness of sorrow underneath. And I was reminded of this in part because my youngest granddaughter, who's almost five, all of a sudden realized that things die. And she was weeping. Do you remember this? Maybe with your kids or yourself, she was weeping. And she you know, her mom called me and said, "I don't know what to do." And I said, "I don't either. It is sad." And there's nothing that can change that fact. And so it's more just be reassuring that, you know, that you're here and we're here together and life can still go on as long as it does. But, you know, it's we run face into it at some point. For me, it was my hamsters. You've heard that story. But, you know, at some point we realize, oh my gosh, is that going to happen to me? And no one wants to say yes, but you figure it out. And for a long, long time, I really didn't like that. How about you? I really didn't like that because I liked it here and I had a good life. There are others that would be happy to be dead right now, but, you know, what's another lecture later? And eventually, in my spiritual training, I began to see that maybe this whole place is set up because it's such a lesson. Maybe this whole reality that you and I are in has a beginning, a middle, and an end, with a little bit of uncertainty about when all that's going to happen for a reason. Maybe it's not just random, but rather part of something that we've come here to engage with. Because certainly, if you've read any sacred texts, there are other whole universes, according to spiritual folk, that are not wired like this. There's no sorrow. There's complete bliss. Everybody's living at this bliss level. And I'm like, well, why are we here? Did we take a detour or what? You know, and the answer is, well, maybe we're here for a reason. And maybe the reason is in part to understand impermanence. And what it does for me, I don't know what it does for you, but in really looking straight at it, and recognizing that there's this fundamental drone of uncertainty underneath, I start to be more and more appreciative of everything that is right now in my life. You know, the people, the beautiful pets, even my plants, which I have a tendency to kill. I'm so grateful when they live, you know. And so there is something to be gained from it. And yet, still, that uncertainty is droning away underneath. And so, you know, as I was preparing this talk, a story that I've told before came, and some of you have heard it, and some of you have not, and it's from Rumi, that great mystic Sufi saint. And you can find this anywhere on the internet. All I did was I typed in Rumi Island Cow, and it came up everywhere because it's a great story, and this is the story. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
Okay. There is a small green island where one white cow lives alone, a meadow of an island. The cow grazes until nightfall, full and fat, but during the night she panics and grows thin as a single hair. What shall I eat tomorrow? There's nothing left. By dawn, the grass has grown up again, waist high. The cow starts eating, and by dark, the meadow is clipped short. She is full of strength and energy, but she panics in the dark as before and grows abnormally thin overnight. The cow does this over and over, and this is all she does. She never thinks, well, this meadow has never failed to grow back. Why should I be afraid every night that it won't? The cow is the bodily soul. The island field is this world where what grows lean with fear and fat with blessing, lean and fat, lean and fat. White cow, don't make yourself miserable with what's to come or not to come. That's a story. So, you know, I wouldn't want to call anybody a cow, but, you know, there is that analogy of when we engage in the anxiety that sometimes rides us, it's hard to remember. I don't know, maybe it's not true for you, but for a long time it was hard for me to remember that actually in the overall sort of view of my life, even when things were fearful, even when things were anxiety-producing, always something occurred that allowed me to move forward and be okay, ultimately. It doesn't mean that train wrecks don't happen and you're wandering around the train wreck of your life going, what just happened and why is this happening and I don't like this and that's going to happen. But at one point or another, you sort of have to walk away from the train wreck and kind of go, okay, that did happen. And now here I am and look, I'm okay. I'm really okay. And then you move forward. So as I was preparing the talk, I thought, well, okay, now you've made your point about what anxiety is and the drone and impermanence and all that stuff and worry and nobody raised their hand and all that. So what do we do about it? I bet you want to know. I sure want to be reminded. So as I was preparing this, I realized, well, that's interesting. Everything that I thought about starts with an A. So the four A's. So the first thing about what to do, particularly when anxiety has a hold on you, which I'm sure that's not true for anybody here, but maybe later and you'll remember. So the first thing that every spiritual tradition in one form or another in their own sacred language says is, all right, step one, you have to be aware and awake. Two A's. Aware and awake to your thoughts, to that anxiety, to that fear. You have to actually realize that it has started up. And this seems very basic, you know? Like, I mean, I'm sure some of you are going, well, no kidding, you know when it is. But actually, there's a moment before you know that you can actually move toward, I have, where you're paying enough attention that even as you start feeling its beginning, you can turn and face it. And this is not what I was trained to do. I don't know about you. I was trained to like try to distract myself so that I turn on the TV, turn on music, eat something. That was my favorite. You know, do something. And even now, if I'm not careful, I notice that I've all my life, if I have some worry thoughts that start, especially when I'm about ready to fall asleep, I actually find myself moving my body to disrupt the thought, which isn't bad. That's great. And what's even better is to become aware and awake to it starting up before it even gets to the point of actually talking to you. Why is that important? Well, It's a passing state, this worry and anxiety. It may feel like you live with it forever, but actually when we become awake and aware in it, it comes and goes. For some people it comes and it stays for a while and it goes. For other people it's fleeting, but it does come and go, I swear, I promise. And we can help it calm down when we can catch it as it's starting up, which leads to the next one, which is the next day is anchor in the present moment. Anchor. And what that means is as we become awake and aware that something has come up and we anchor into the present moment with our whole being, our breath is one way that people teach how to do this, where anxiety has taken hold and maybe you've been taught different breathing techniques. You know, there's the four part where you breathe in four times, you hold four times, you breathe out four times, you hold four times. You know that one? Yeah. So breathing is critical when we're working with difficult states because it allows us to anchor the body in the present moment. In other words, the buzzword these days is mindfulness. We become mindful of our body, our breathing, our sense of self in the present moment. Because almost without exception, in fact, I wonder if there even is an exception, worry and anxiety do not have to do with the present moment. They just don't. If you think about the last time you were worried or anxious, if you really think about it, not hard. it's either about the past or the future. It's I can't think of a time when it was actually about that right now moment. Now it could be the next moment, but still future. Or it could have been the past moment, but still past. So anchoring in the present moment is an incredible opportunity to bring yourself, bring ourselves into the now, where anxiety and worry have no place. They don't have any place to be. And once we've done that, then we have the opportunity to really sort of notice the story that was wanting to be told. So you don't ignore it. You know, this is not about suppression. This is about paying attention and being awake with what's going on. So awake and aware, anchor in the present moment, and then attend to the story without attachment. Lots of A's in this. So what do I mean by that? Well, Thich Nhat Hanh used to tell a story that has stayed with me in working with strong emotions. He used to say that, you know, imagine that there is a young mother, we have a young mother who's walking her baby, and so the young mother is ready for the baby to go to sleep, and so takes the baby into a darkened room and gently puts the baby down. The baby's already mostly asleep. Have you done this? I have done this 3 times. Backs up very quietly, leaves the room, shuts the door partway, goes and has a break, makes a cup of tea, sitting down, possibly even going to read a book for the first time since the baby was born, starts to read the book, and all of a sudden, and the baby's crying. And what Thich Nhat Hanh said is, you know, okay, listen. But if the baby keeps crying, the mother puts the book down, gets up, goes into the room, and the first thing she does is she picks up the baby and just comforts the baby. The baby's crying, comfort the baby. And then start checking. Is there something that's hurting the baby? Is something too tight? Is there something going on? You know, are they breathing okay? All that. But that very first thing of picking up and comforting. And that's what we do with our own anxiety and worry stories. Is when they start to arise, we ground ourselves, become aware of them. In the present moment, we go and we pick the story up as if it was a baby that needed comforting, because it does. And we just pay attention to the story without being attached to it. This is not my story, it is the story that's being told somewhere in my being. But I'm not that story. And so you comfort yourself, which sounds really weird, but I tell you what, as soon as I heard him tell that story, I started practicing it. It works every time, and that's what we're really about here, is spiritual work, right? We want things to work so that we feel peaceful and able to move with grace. So picking up the baby of worry, checking to make sure that nothing's really wrong, that it's just a story that's being told. And those stories, by the way, if you've never read the book, What's in the Way is the Way, I highly recommend that book if you're working with strong emotions that are difficult to comfort. Because basically a lot of those stories come from, she calls them spells that were cast on us when we were very young. I'm not lovable. I'm not good enough. I'm alone. Things like that. And those create worry and anxiety. I mean, my little granddaughter, that's the one thing I could say now with thought, is to go back to my daughter and say, well, it comes from a story that all of a sudden she's aware of, and you can help her by comforting her and telling her that's not the story that you need to have. So can I be your mom for a minute? That's not the story you need to have anymore. Of course you're lovable. I've never met a sacred human that wasn't lovable somehow. Maybe not easily, but somehow. And the last A and it's actually another two A's, is accept and allow. And this sounds kind of counterintuitive, but let me talk about acceptance first. So my friend Denise is here, and Denise, when I was going through a hard time, kept saying, acceptance is the key to freedom. And I'd be like, I can't say it, but just say it was not a nice word. I would never say that to Denise, but inside me I was like, acceptance is the key to freedom. Over and over, acceptance is the key to freedom. I even had that earlier in my life when I was going through a really hard time, and a man in my congregation at the time said, can I take you to lunch? And I'm like, sure, whatever, I'm dying anyway, sure, you know. And that was what he said, is he said, you know, I've been through what you're going through, and I got to tell you that the real key to the whole thing is to accept it. I didn't want to accept it. I didn't like it at all. How about you, when things happen that you didn't expect and you didn't want? So we were at a Mexican restaurant, so I'm furiously eating chips so that I won't say anything mean as his minister, you know, and salsa and chips, salsa and chips. And he goes on and on about acceptance is the key to freedom. And I'm like, okay, fine, I'll try. I didn't try for a long time. But it's actually true. It turns out, years later, that I can see completely that that's true. It's just not easy, especially when life has hit you, you know, in the face with a change that was unexpected, a diagnosis, someone leaves, someone dies, whatever, you know. There's so many impermanent things going on that it's not easy to accept, and yet it is the key to freedom. And then that leads to allowing. And what do I mean by that? It doesn't mean, let's say the impermanence that happened is someone was really awful to you and you had to leave. It doesn't mean you allow that to happen again. You know that. I wouldn't tell you that. Nobody in the right mind would tell you that. So what does it mean? Allowing means allowing ourselves the grace to be in whatever is difficult and remembering that this too shall pass. Remembering this too shall pass. And that's just an incredible thing. I had this experience this week. I was mediating a very difficult situation. I'm working with the ethics department of our overall organization, and very difficult situation arose, and part of the difficulty was that someone who had no business being in what was going on at all kept harassing everyone, including me. And so as I was sitting there, I was like, this too shall pass, I would say to myself. Remember, this too shall pass. And then I would literally allow myself to think about making dinner that night, how wonderful it was going to be, and how I couldn't wait to see Joe as this person is harassing. I'd just be there going, this will pass, and this has nothing to do with me, and my life is great. And it took a lot to keep saying those things to myself, because what was coming at me through the phone was not nice. And it wasn't like I was ignoring, but on the other hand, I needed to remember that part about not being attached to the story. I needed to realize this has nothing to do with me at all. I just happen to be in the role of mediating something, and they don't like what's going on, and so they're blaming and criticizing and. I'm sure you don't have anybody like that in your life, but in case, just later, remember this story, because I'm telling it for you. I already lived it. But just in case. So allowing means allowing ourselves to really remember who we are. And who are we? We are the beloved. We are the divine's expression in this lifetime. We in Science of Mind actually believe that Spirit took incarnation through each one of us to live out a new expression of itself that was entirely unique. And so our whole life is an expression of how we shape and move with spirit. And so those moments when we have to say to ourselves, all right, this is not what I expected, this is not what I wanted, this is not what I like, this too shall pass, are really important moments of remembering the truth of who we are. And for a lot of us, we weren't raised with that idea. And yet I'm absolutely convinced that yes, there's a historical dimension where we were born, we live out our lives, and we pass into something else. But at the very same moment that that's all going on, there is a vertical experience that travels with us the whole way of the immortal, eternal beingness that we are. And so getting caught in these worry stories, these anxieties, is really unnecessary to the overarching experience of who we are. Totally understandable. So have any of you seen Inside Out 2? Because I don't want to do a spoiler, but I'm going to. So anxiety takes over, completely takes over, shoves everybody else, including joy, out of the way, banishes them to the outer darkness, and takes over, thinking that if everybody just listens to anxiety, everything will be fine because they've got this. They can control this. And of course, they can't. And so finally, at the very end, there's a realization that actually anxiety can't control anything. And that even trying to control things is making everything worse. I bet you've had that experience. I have. So why don't I do a prayer, and we'll move into our day, for the clarity of these ideas, being awake, being aware, being able to anchor into the present moment, being able to attend to the story without attachment, and being awake and aware to accepting our true nature, whatever arises. I know for me, and I know for everyone listening, that there is indeed a divine essence and energy that is universally everywhere present, but actually takes shape uniquely and individually by means of each of us. So I now remember that my life and my experiences are the shaping of reality that I am doing with spirit on board, always saying yes, beloved, yes. Have the freedom to create this life of yours any way you want. And so I choose in this moment to remember my creative power, that I have the ability to be awake within my own thinking, feeling, nature, to be awake to what my mind is telling me and to not necessarily believe it if it doesn't seem to resonate with the deepest truth that I am spirit in action. And as I remember this, I realize that any thoughts of worry, any feelings of worry, any sense of anxiety that I may be carrying can be accepted and helped with my full presence in the here and now. And so I accept a deep willingness to be here with myself and now, attending to those places in me that need attention without necessarily needing to do anything with them. And as I do this, I am freed from being shoved and pushed to control things that are beyond my control, for one thing, but also to be free to move in new ways, with ways of thinking and feeling and acting that are much more congruent with my true nature, which is love, which is joy, which is peace. And I accept love, joy, and peace moving through me. And as I accept all this, I give great thanks, knowing that there is a vast presence within and through me that says yes to that. And so it is.